Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Quick disclosure, this podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing I say constitutes direct investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell any securities. It represents my personal views at the time of the recording, and markets may perform differently than I expect. All investment involves risk, including loss of principal. With that said, let's get into it. The inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model served us well during the U.S.-Iran war. Even though we viscerally felt the need to get more bearish, we used our strategy to stay the course and get longer of equities. This was true even during the intense sell-off in markets in early June. The simple reason is our model detects what the handful of insiders that run the world know and their trades, and it follows their footprints in markets. And they knew the war would end soon, even when the headlines were pointing to World War III. Trump announced last Thursday that the war was over and a peace agreement had been reached, or a memorandum of understanding. This was just 5 hours after he said the U.S. would hit Iran hard later that evening. The Iranian state media conveyed that the 14-point MOU between the two nations dictates that final negotiations will not begin until the release of half of Iran's frozen funds are released, the suspension of Iran's oil sanctions, and the lifting of the U.S. naval blockade, according to the MEHR news agency. All American forces would need to withdraw from Iran, and the U.S. and its allies would need to present reconstruction plans for Iran worth at least $300 billion. This does not sound like a good outcome for the U.S. in the long term. But what is clear is that the U.S. is seeking to restart the flow of oil at almost any cost right now, and they'll worry about negotiations later. They'll worry about the details later. Oil inventories are very close to running out and causing a massive spike. The president doesn't want that going into the midterms. So he's going to open the strait and work on a deal as best he can. Now, even though we're not bearish at this point, please understand we remain cognizant of how rich this market has become. The total market cap of equities as a percentage of GDP is now over 230%. That is more than double the historical average and close to 100 percentage points greater than the dot-com bubble peak. And if you don't like that statistic, how about margin debt relative to GDP? It reached 4.1% in the latest reading. That's an all-time record high, 4.1%. For context, margin debt peaked at 2.6% of GDP in the year 2000 during the dot-com bubble peak, and 2.5% of GDP heading into the 2007 financial crisis, global financial crisis. So we're leaps and bounds overvalued, and that's been the case for a very long time. Not a great timing tool, but a great metric to look at how far we can fall when this facade, this veil is pulled. Inflation is still a big problem, even though it may be coming off the front burner for a while now that the war is supposedly ending. The producer price index was up 6.4% year over year for May versus the 5.7% rate year over year in April, the previous month, and just 2.4% in the year ago period. But does the Fed really care? Well, maybe they do, maybe they don't. Let's see. The new Fed chair, Kevin Warsh, said last Thursday that the Fed will be purchasing $10 billion per month of treasuries to ensure the banking system has ample reserves. He reasserted balance sheet growth at his first Federal Open Market Committee meeting and press conference today. I have two problems with this. One, Mr. Warsh was purportedly going to shrink the Fed's balance sheet and bring on a regime of scarce reserves, not ample reserves, scarce reserves. He was supposed to greatly reduce the central bank's footprint in our economy, but it's not looking good so far. And two, the Fed increased its balance sheet by $14 billion last week alone, which is way above the entire monthly target of $10 billion. I had hoped that Kevin Warsh would be different because he claims to be an Austrian economist and he understands that inflation is caused by the Federal Reserve's printing of money, credit, which is given to banks to expand the broader monetary aggregates by lending. But he has certainly stumbled right out of the gate. For what he was going to do about inflation being above target for over 5 years, he said there's a task force for that. He had a task force for everything. He doesn't need a task force for what to do about the balance sheet. Stop its rapid growth, period. I'm disappointed, but I'm not really surprised that he didn't say that. The sad truth is he, like the other chairpersons before him, know that the next recession could and should quickly devolve into an elongated depression. Hence, they will do anything and everything, including printing trillions of preemptive dollars, to delay that outcome for as long as the markets will allow. After all, nobody wants to be blamed for steering the economy into a deep depression. Do you want people to say, well, he was at the helm of the ship when the economy hit the rocks? He is at the helm right now, and he just doesn't want any part of it. I'm not sure if the Fed is comprised of individuals who are nefarious, inane, or insane. Perhaps it is a combination of all three. But what I am convinced of is that they are frightened to death of the next asset price implosion. For what the members of the FOMC are aware of but will not speak of is that they will be impotent to ameliorate the next collapse. This is true because whenever the economy suffered from a contraction in growth and asset prices in the past, the government was able to assist by using its balance sheet. Even though past collapses lasted years and took asset prices down 50% plus, the Treasury borrowed immensely and the Fed monetized the debt. Hence, asset prices eventually turned higher and the economy began to heal. For example, during the global financial crisis, the Treasury borrowed about $1.4 trillion during that recession, and the Fed bought $1.3 trillion of that debt. But back then, the nation's debt to GDP was just 63%. So there was room to spend and print the problem away without damaging the dollar or our sovereign debt market. In other words, by printing new money and buying government debt, the Fed was able to push interest rates lower by removing the debt from being priced by the market. That worked. However, that free pass has been removed. During the post-COVID era, our nation's debt has surged by $25 trillion and now sits at 123% of GDP, not 63, 123, almost doubled. And the Fed has already massively expanded its balance sheet when it monetized $5 trillion of that debt at its peak. This process has produced a humongous spike in the level of prices and has sent the CPI rising well above target for over 5 years. This means heading into the next recession, we will already be suffering from an intractable inflation problem that is combined with a nation that is struggling with solvency. Think about $2 trillion deficits and a debt-to-revenue ratio of 720%. Whenever the next recession arrives, the deficit should surge by trillions of dollars as the automatic economic stabilizers of unemployment insurance, SNAP, and reduced taxes are triggered. The debt problem will be exacerbated if the Treasury tries to assist with another American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, which was a massive $831 billion economic stimulus package signed by Barack Obama in response to the Great Recession. Or it will be even worse if the government once again sends trillions of dollars in stimulus checks, universal basic income, and helicopter money drops. Therefore, interest rates will most likely rise during the next economic crisis, no matter what the Fed does. If it chooses to not monetize the debt, it must then be priced by the free market at much greater yields. Conversely, if the Fed is forced to create trillions of dollars in new credit and buys it all, as it has done in the past, it should crater the dollar, destroy whatever credibility that remains in our Treasury debt, and send inflation rates much higher from where they already are. Of course, yields will rise in tandem, thus not only delaying any economic recovery, but protracting and intensifying the decline. Even though I'm bullish right now, my eyes are wide open and my hands are firmly on the wheel.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.